Well, that, I, how many would that benefit from that? Just you've, you're traditional, you're more from a traditional setting, and you may find yourself being, leading a contemporary type worship team or something like that. How many people would be affected by that or relate to that? Okay, just different people, okay. How many people are in the right class? Okay, three people, that's great. Well, we'll just go for it. I think what I'll do is start with that, the idea, and maybe give you a little bit of my background and the world I live in musically, which is very eclectic. In fact, maybe too eclectic, I'm not sure. I was raised as a classical musician. My mom used to listen to classical music all the time, so hence I did. And yet early on, I think sixth, seventh grade, I started taking songs off the radio by ear and thought, this is really cool that I can actually play what's there. And I think that stirred something in me that has never died to this day, and that is just the power of popular music, the effect it has. Now, there is bad popular music, there's terrible popular music, but I also think there's incredible popular music. Just as I think there is bad classical music, and there is incredible classical music. I remember, then I went on to major in piano performance at Temple University in Philadelphia. My teacher wanted me to go on to get my master's and to kind of go on to teach and do a little performing thing on the side, and I went and joined GLAD instead. Actually, I was part of GLAD already, and I said, this is really what I want to do. And I had a wonderful teacher. He let me, as an encore to my senior recital, he let me come back and play songs that I had written, Christian songs that I'd written. He was a Jewish guy. So he was great. Anyway, I felt this draw to pop Christian, for lack of a better word, ministry. Maybe those words aren't necessarily in the right order. But Christian ministry using the vehicle of popular music. How about that? And during our day, GLAD, back in the late 70s, was avant-garde. We were the cutting edge. Today we're in the inspirational section, which just shows you what happens over time. So I don't know if I should even be teaching on contemporary vocals, because now we're just inspirational vocals. But maybe to some of you, what I do will seem very contemporary. My church setting is a band. We have, you know, synthesizer. This is our typical setup on a Sunday morning. We have the back row, and this changes, but typically a synthesizer, full percussion, drummer, bass player, electric guitar, acoustic guitar, three vocalists, me on keyboard, and then our choice of sax, oboe, violin, trumpet, and string quartet. We have a family in the church, four guys, actually seven kids, but the four boys are a string quartet. The oldest just got his degree in violin performance. They are very, very good. So you can imagine what kind of demand there is for them in the church at weddings and on. But we've just started adding the string quartet to our Sunday corporate worship experience. So my goal has been to broaden our church's appreciation for different kinds of music. Now, we would be weighted heavily towards the pop style. And I feel my role as a music director is to be aware of new styles that are helpful in expressing some aspect of our worship to God. Not everything out there is useful. So I would not be a proponent of the thought that says, well, you find out what's happening and you do it to, you know, win the masses. And if you were here for worship in postmodern culture yesterday, you'd realize how strongly I don't believe that. But I do believe we serve we serve the God who created all music. We serve the God who is vast and immeasurable. So I think we need to, whatever our stylistic preference is, we need to seek to broaden it, just to find out more about God's creation. It's just like traveling. You know, I've lived in one place all my life. It's fine. God created it. I like it. I know everything here. That's a terrible attitude. You know, I have a desire in my heart to see certain things in the world for no other reason than the fact that I want to see what my Creator made. You know, I've stood at the side of the edge of the Grand Canyon, speechless, that this is just the smallest picture of the power of God, and been blown away at it. So I think music is like that. We wanna expand. So that's just my encouragement to you. If you're struggling, I don't know, that would be for me a biblical, somewhat, basis for exploring different types of music. Now, I've played for choirs pretty much all my life and through college. I loved accompanying choirs. I've sung in choirs. That has not been a part of my life for the last 20 years, other than in just small doses. But we get people in our church who have been in choirs, and we do choirs occasionally, twice a year usually. And I've noticed some distinctions between the way they sing and the way that people who haven't been in choirs sing. Now, I imagine all of you have been in choirs. Now, how many of you have sung in what would be a more contemporary style, where, you know, it's basically three people on a mic? How many people have done that? Okay. It's different, isn't it? Now, what would you say are some of the differences?
Straighter tone,
that's one of the differences. And if you're going to pursue a contemporary sound, there's going to be less vibrato. It doesn't mean that vibrato is wrong. It doesn't mean that straight tone is wrong. They're just different. That's all. They're just different. There were groups, well, the Swingle Singers, you probably aren't familiar with the Swingle Singers. The Swingle Singers, are you familiar with the Swingle Singers? They took, they took classical pieces and did them entirely by voice. And you don't do that with tones like this, because the piano doesn't do that. You know, you hear, or they do, that, you know, some with more elongated tones. It's not this, it's just very pure and very straight. And when I heard that, I thought, this is great. I just hadn't been exposed to it. And then there was this very little known group called the Free Design, who were a Canadian group, who sang a lot of harmonies like this. See that dissonant second? You can't sing that and it sound good if you're going, ooh, because the next guy next to you is going to, ooh. So when you put that together, it says, ooh, it just sounds awful. So you need a straight tone. Now, there are variations, and I'm talking about purely straight tone, but contemporary music is much more straight tone. Okay, what other differences are there between choral music and contemporary music? Okay, pronunciations and unification of vowel. And how would you describe that? See, I'm letting you teach the class. This is great.
Well, I would just say that in the contemporary style, there's not near as much of a focus on making every single sound unified, but rather each individual voice has, as far as praise team, each voice can handle its own a little bit more and have its own individual quality present more than just blending as a whole with the rest of the group like you would in most choral situations.
Very good. Did everybody hear that? And that's absolutely true. Although there's a tension in contemporary music. I think what all popular music is, whatever age you're in, whatever culture, whatever historical era you're in, popular music is an attempt for music to connect with people. Now, I'm in the midst of studying music history, so I don't want to say, I'm sure that many of you know much more about music history than I do. But there's always been this element of, you know, folk culture, music that appeals to the people. I think that's what pop music is about. Now, because of technology, pop music has taken on a different aura. It's commercialized. So you can hear something, you go, that was produced just to make money. Now, you don't know that, but it sure sounds like it. You can't read their hearts, but that whole area has developed. That doesn't, to me, indict popular music, contemporary music, as being bad. Because certainly many classical pieces were written for the same reason, to earn money, to make a living. So the motivation of the composer doesn't change the goodness or the badness of the style. But there's a tension in contemporary music. You want an ensemble sound. The point I was moving to was you also want an emotional sound. And truthfully, I can hear some choirs and be very moved, and I can hear some choirs and be very unmoved. And it just depends on the choir, depends on the piece, depends on the execution. And in contemporary music, well, you have the same thing happening, but because there's this emphasis on individuality, there's usually a quicker response to that personal effect. So I could sing, and this will sound different to your ears, depending on what your background is, but if I sing, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You know, that will, some people will be very affected by that. Now, and I might be affected by that, but here's another way of doing it. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. See, now, musically speaking, to a classically trained ear, that's awful. You know, you're breaking phrases, you're not enough breath support, you know, all these kind of things. All kinds of things. But you know what? What I seek to communicate when I do something like that is, I'm panting after God. I mean, did that come through to anybody? Did you feel more of the what I was singing when I did the second way? And I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I mean, there's that difference. So that's, to me, what contemporary, if we're going to think about using contemporary music, we want to be very clear on why we're doing it. And as I made clear yesterday, you don't do it to get your church to grow. I think that is a faulty foundation for using contemporary music. I use contemporary music because I believe it effectively communicates in our culture a passion for God and a response to His truth. That's why I use it. Now, it's really my stylistic center at this point. Now, if I started practicing, maybe classical music would become my stylistic center again. But I like to think of myself as a musical pluralist. Although no one's a true musical pluralist. There, you always have a stylistic center from which you tend to judge everything by. You know what I mean? If your main idiom is contemporary, then you will see traditional as stuffy, emotionless, those kinds of things. If you're traditional, you can tend to see contemporary as light, shallow, untrained, without thought, all those kind of things. I want to find what's good and can glorify God in every style and then use it. So the contemporary vocal can produce that kind of emotional effect on people. So we don't want to approach contemporary vocals the exact same way that we approach maybe traditional, classical music, because what you end up with is a show. And I think that's why contemporary music has legitimately been criticized for being performance-oriented, although any kind of music can be performance-oriented, true. But because it's approached, we got to get everything perfectly right, and it's just, the focus is on how I'm doing this, what I'm doing, what this little particular thing, are we seeing things together? And it's all contemporary and everything, but the focus is on the wrong things. I so appreciated last night at dinner, just got with a bunch of guys, we were talking about different things. Nathan, is Nathan here? Yes, Nathan, he was sharing about how he trains his children's choir, saying that he doesn't just teach them to sing, he teaches them what the words mean, and they go through the words, and he teaches them theology as they're learning how to sing, and then the singing becomes a means of expressing that theology. I thought, oh, that's brilliant. That's really what we're seeking to do. So with contemporary music, you want to see it as a means of expressing theology, expressing truth, not packaging truth in a way that's palatable. What that produces is shallow music. That's what it produces. And I don't believe contemporary music is shallow. I think it can be. But I think classical music can be shallow as well. Again, it's folk music can be shallow. It can be profound. And it's not an issue of it being complex or simple. It's an issue of creativity, integrity, thoughtfulness, variety, all those kinds of things thrown in. I feel like a tree right now just going off in different branches, and I hope some of this is, I'm trying to do both an apologetic for contemporary vocals, and then we're moving into the practicals of doing it. So we have this more, a different kind of an emotional thing. In contemporary vocals, you are not looking for hard consonants. We have, there's a girl who has a strong choral background, who has a wonderful contemporary voice as well, who every time we say a D, it's duh, and it just kind of jumps out at you. And it's, so I've just talked to her about it, we laugh, okay. It's just for that style, that's when I talk about integrity, I'm not talking about the record company. I'm talking about within that style, what are the main elements of it that make it that style? If you sing classical music as from a pop perspective, contemporary, sometimes it works, but most of the time no one's going to believe you. It lacks integrity. Same thing with contemporary. You know, one of the best things you can do if you're wanting to do this is buy like 10 CDs of contemporary music and just listen to them. Just immerse yourself in it, because you're only going to be able to understand it from the inside. See, what I find interesting is when people talk about a style of music that to me just sounds all the same, and they're talking about, oh, this is really good. Oh, no, that's terrible. What are you making these judgments on? And as I start to listen to it more carefully, I say, that's what you're saying. Okay, there's the difference. And see, they can say it because they're immersed in it. And so, I mean, really, that's one of the best ways. You have a guy like Matt Redman, who would be from England, who is writing some wonderful songs. Very simple songs, but very effective songs, I think. Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice, you became nothing, poured out to death. Has anyone heard this song? Many times I've wondered at your gift of love, and I'm in that place once again. I'm in that place once again. Now listen to the chorus. This is what he does. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. And then there's a second verse. Now, the first time I heard that song, I thought, like, why doesn't he get off the A? Once again I look up on the cross where you died. I mean, not very inventive, not very creative. But you know what I found is that, and I love great melodies. Don't get me wrong. I love great melodies. But what I found is that when we've done that song, it just forces you to think about what you're saying. You can't be thinking, this is a beautiful melody, it's so wonderful, and I'm such a great singer. It's just, once again I look upon the cross where you died. And you're looking upon the cross where he died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again, I thank you. Now that example just came to mind. That may be a stretch for you. But as in contemporary vocals, what we would do would be to look for ways to emphasize and make use of what we're given. So we would say, okay, we don't have to sing this da 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 da. We can have dynamics. Once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. But one of the characteristics of contemporary vocals is they're not self-aware. It's an expression of the heart in a natural way. So you don't want to overdo it. Be aware of techniques. And I'm going to talk about parts in a moment. Be aware of techniques, but don't let anything become the defining element. Okay, this is contemporary music. We're doing it this way. We're singing it with a crescendo, and that's the piece. People just laugh. They're just, what are you doing? Because the point is to connect with people. I don't use that word very often. It can be so misunderstood. But you do. You want the presentation of the song to connect with people. And how does it do that? Well, when people think you're sincere. When people think that what you really are meaning what you're saying. And see, I think that's the value. That's one of the values of contemporary music. Now, I think there are many values to classical music as well. But since you're already convinced of that, I won't go into it. So let's talk about parts for contemporary vocals. A common approach is just to say three parts, soprano, alto, tenor, and if you have a male leader, you have him sing the melody on the bottom. Good contemporary arranging will not overuse those parts. Our ears, now this is, I told Chip, I just love being here because it's just a different world for me. It's not a world I'm unfamiliar with. Hey, I played organ in a Southern Baptist church for a year in 1972. So I feel, no, I just, I did, but that has nothing to do with my feeling welcome here. What I'm about to say is that our ears get dulled to what we hear. And variety is something that we can use to support the text, to support the truth. That's why in orchestras, not everybody plays all the time. Wouldn't that be horrendous if every note of every song? Well, the same thing's true in contemporary vocals. Same thing's true in contemporary arranging. What you'll often see when you come into, say you're starting a contemporary worship service, and you have people who really feel like they know what they're doing. Hey, I sing harmony. Yeah, really? I sing harmony. So they will sing harmony on every note of every single song. And what you just have to tell them is, would you stop? Just stop. Just learn the melody. Sing that. And we'll add the harmony on the chorus. And what that does, and we won't even do it on the first chorus. Let's sing through the whole thing. Just unison. See, I think what we're seeking to do, what we're hoping to do, is to teach the congregation the melody. You know, they should know the melody, don't you think? And in a lot of these services, you won't have music there. It'll be, maybe you will, which is great. But if you don't, the melody has to be very clear. So if you have a lot of harmony, no one's going to be picking up the melody. So first rule, contemporary vocals, make sure the melody can be heard. It's not a big mystery. Make sure that people know the melody, they're singing the melody, and because typically, often, it's not written out or there are slight alterations, what you'll see on a lot of contemporary music is the guy on the CD or the group on the CD does it one way, and then when you're looking at it in your book, you're going, that's not what they're doing. And I mean, we go through that in PDI. We release at least an album a year, and you know, you want the soloist to be, you know, passionate about what they're doing. You want them to be free, but you also want people to know what the melody of the song is. So what we've reached a compromise, pretty much, where we say, first chorus, sing it like we wrote it. You know, and then after that, you can begin to do little things. It just happens. You do what you think, again, will communicate most sincerely. I think sincerity, naturalness, is a big part of contemporary music, should be. It's not just the fact that you're using the guitar and drums. That may be, but you're, if that's all contemporary music is, you're not deriving what I think are its greatest strengths. I think its greatest strength is that there's someone who is singing what I could be singing in my heart. And then now I can join with them. So what we do is we'll adapt. We'll sometimes follow exactly what's written, sometimes do what's, you know, on the CD, and then we'll teach it to the congregation that way. Now, once you've got your harmony reduced to this soprano, alto, tenor thing, the because contemporary music is often more, easily learned, a tendency is to do the same thing every time. We got the chorus, great, we got it down, and we can come in, we teach the team, it's great, we're happening, great and everything. And if that's where it ends, then again, you reach this wall of just kind of, this really isn't that great. So we move on to, well, how can we utilize these parts in a more effective way? And some of the ways you can do that are to use a combination of the parts. I think in terms of three parts, except when I'm arranging for GLAD, when I think in terms of like 10. But typically, it's the lead vocal, it's an alto underneath, and a tenor underneath that. And if you're just starting out, that is a great place to start. Whatever the song is, how about Shout to the Lord? I see what I just did there was throw in a second. Well, I probably wouldn't do that. As much parallel movement as possible without sacrificing the harmonic integrity of the song. You don't want to do it. That would really make people leave. The truth is, if you're working with contemporary vocals, frequently they won't be trained. Have you ever had that? Has anyone had that happen? Okay. Yeah, so you've got to extemporize. You've got to think, okay, I want to use this voice, but how do I use it most effectively? Well, there's a lot of ear training that goes on. And then we've also sought to have some times where we teach music, where we, you know, say, okay, this is what these things are, these little notes. This is, and smaller churches, you work with what you've got. Again, it's all for a purpose. It's all for the purpose of doing a form of music which just has a different effect than, say, what you might do with the choir. But you want to know what that effect is. So you start with your three parts, you get those going, and then when you bring that down to unison, it changes everything. Forever, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. If you just take that those last two words and make them unison, it just heightens it, because now you have three, four voices singing one note or an octave versus spreading it out. So that's a different effect. There are all kinds of effects you can create using the alto. The tenor. To the Lord all the earth let us sing. It's a different effect.
Let majesty praise to the king.
Or the alto. Then you bring the tenor back in. Here's the problem. If you get too specific and fanatical about like when everybody's going to do things, you lose one of the strengths of contemporary music, which is the naturalness and the sincerity and the spontaneity of it. So that just as a caution. Now, of course, the better your musicians are, the more you can do. The more you can say, okay, change that. But that's not always the case. You're not always working with people like that. Yeah.
Can I ask you a question while you're on this?
You sure can.
Okay. I asked because out of experience, or I had a guy who had a really good ear, and he sang the tenor part. But sometimes I want to write him out a part because I didn't want him to fall all over the other parts if we're doing more than. And he really resisted that. He wanted just to. He's like, okay, I got it. And then he would sing whatever he wanted to anyway. You know what I mean? And trying to balance what you're talking about, because when he was really at his freest was when he was making up his own part. Which, yes. His philosophy was, if it's in the chord, it's all right with the Lord, is what he would say.
Can I quote that? If it's in the chord, it's all right with the Lord.
Right. Very good. That's what he'd say. And I'd say, no, that's not what you're supposed to sing there. Well, it's in the chord. So, anyway.
Yes.
How do you get to deal with something like
that? Well, you have to determine your own standards.
Okay.
And what you're going to allow, what you're not going to allow. If I had someone like that, well, do have different people on our team. If I was in a small church and I had someone like that, I'd say, Joe, we want to be able to use the gifts that God has given you. Now we've got to make a choice. Either you've got to learn at different times to sing a certain part. And the way I'd approach it would be, if he can't or doesn't want to learn music per se, learn how to read, I would say, okay, you've got to learn it by ear. This is the part I want you to sing. And if you don't do that, it may be in your chord, but the alto may not be singing that same chord. That may be singing alteration. Of course, the problem always comes when the alto's around the tonic. You know, you've got, if the alto right here goes down to a B, well then the tenor better stay on that G. Because if he doesn't, it just goes right down, you got it. I just hate that sound. I think that is demonic, the tritone. That's just so bad. So I have a tenor who's incredible voice, but would be like that. Well, no, he's not like that.
Well, he wouldn't give me a complete hard time. I think he would do it.
We're not impugning his character
here. Unconsciously, actually. You know, he would try to learn the part, and I'd write it or I'd do it by ear, both, because he would learn it both ways. But just that was a constant struggle that he would be all over everybody's part.
Does he do it like throughout the song?
No.
Just when you sing
just
harmony.
Just when I said we're supposed to sing harmony.
Yeah. In those kind of situations, I say, Lord, give me grace.
Okay.
This is the person that you brought into my life to help me grow in understanding your mercy and grace. And I think there are times when you do that.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like when you have your violin, you know, say you have an orchestra and your violin player or your whatever, your flute player, just you've been playing 3 years and every so often you go, you know, Lord, thank you. It's not like you kick them out or whatever. So, yeah. But you keep working at it. You tell them, look, we're not content. Just contemporary does not mean shoddy.
Right.
Okay? It doesn't mean who cares? We need to be very particular about what we do, but we keep that focus of naturalness to it. So,
okay.
That's a great question. Nathan?
Is one of the options that you use to do contemporary vocals, aside from on a refrain, having everybody sing the entire refrain, to use more of a, in parts of the refrain, an instrumental response where they're just singing oob and they'll come in on one section of the refrain, like you would find more in a contemporary recording act, atmosphere where there's not constant everybody singing words,
yes,
but a section of oob and then...
A section of oob, did you say?
A section of oob or a section of some kind of... Oh. Sound where they're not singing words.
Okay.
They're coming in for part of the phrase on the words.
I see. No. I mean, personally, I unless I was doing a piece that had it written. Now, I write stuff all the time as boobop and dop.
Right.
But when I'm gathering people to sing their praises to God, I just take my cue from Scripture. I mean, I just don't see any la-las in Scripture. I don't, in the Psalms, for instance, I don't see any, you know, what's that?
Sila.
Okay, yeah, yes. Oh, thank you, Chip, for correcting me on that. That is so helpful. Just sila, which is a great, I mean, who knows exactly what that means, because I've read different things, but I like to think it means time for musical interlude, for reflection on what just happened. Now, we're not sure that's what it means, but...
Not something where they would be saying a word that would draw attention, but something where they would be providing harmony background that would
right.
be more instrumental in nature, and then joining to accentuate one aspect of one
right.
phrase.
I think it depends on your context. In other words, if in our context, if our background, if our singers did that, it would draw so much attention to itself. We tried it on one song, during a chorus having... It's a little bit different. During a chorus, having some of the singers do an ooh, you know, as opposed to singing the words. And we just dropped it. This is so unnatural. This is so strange. So if we were to do it during instrumental solo, not that there's nothing wrong with it, understand. I think it's a contextual issue rather than a moral or aesthetic issue. It's what will that do to people's awareness of what we're singing about, of who we're seeking to focus on, those kinds of things. So if you're in a situation where that happens all the time, and you're moving to contemporary, and then people do it, I don't think it's as much of an issue. That's a democratic response. In my heart, I have a hard time imagining it without doing it and drawing attention to itself. You know, so if someone's gonna do an interlude, do it. Just get up there. But see, philosophically, I can't imagine any reason why it would be wrong, because the voice is an instrument, and it can do oohs and ahs and different things. I think because the emphasis in Scripture is so much on singing to the Lord, I always want to err on that side. So never as a regular thing, but certainly it's something that you could do. Yes, Professor Stamm?
I have something I've been searching for, an answer.
Uh-oh.
If we were to do the first verse of a song in unison and then naturally break into parts at the refrain, the affect that I get is it strengthens as you go
yes.
into parts for the
yes.
refrain. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
If we were to do the verse in parts and then the refrain comes and we go to unison,
yes.
my affect is it strengthens.
It's because it's different.
But there's something about unison that says, this is strong.
Well, yes.
Maybe it's just the variation.
I think it's the variation, and I think it's how you use it. Because when you go from harmony in a chorus, for instance,
yeah.
to unison, it's immediately stronger. and it draws attention to it. I think the, so is that?
Well, it's just, I mean, I'm thinking, trying to get myself, if my goal is to heighten the words, to heighten people's understanding and connection through the words with the focus of the song, in the worship context, obviously, to God, then I want to do whatever I can to help people, help that excel.
Yeah, exactly.
And sometimes, I mean, I don't know why beautiful descants on final verses of hymns or songs somehow lift my spirit to say amen to that, to those words, somehow in a way that the previous verse didn't do.
Yeah.
Or that going into unaccompanied verse of a hymn says to me amen in a way that the second verse, you know, it's, I think it's variety, but not too much variety.
Well, I think it's to borrow a phrase, it's purpose-driven variety. See, I don't think variety in itself helps people to encounter God or exalt God. Because there are plenty of churches that have great programs where nobody's worshiping God. So that's not the issue. The issue is like what we were talking about in the rehearsal the other day, where I turned around to Tim and
Jeff.
And trombone and French horn, and said, during this verse, you know, I want you to play something pleading. Our hearts are longing for the power of the Lord, the wisdom of the Lord to be displayed in all the earth. Your ways are higher than the dreams of any man. Now, play something that makes me feel the effect of those words. And they both did a great job. And then Chip was saying afterwards, that came through. Well, I think that's the way we need to approach the use of vocals. And you certainly could invert it. I think the reason we do unison typically than harmony is so that we're sure everybody's getting that melody. You know, that kind of thing. But you certainly could do, there's a song we sing that goes, Jesus, lover of my soul. Or with us, take a song we know, Shout to the Lord. My Jesus, in parts, my Savior, for there is none like you. All of my do all that in parts, it's very beautiful, and then you're gonna. You just shout to the Lord on the earth. I mean, that would certainly bring it out. And if that's your desire, then that's a great thing to do. If you're thinking, you know what, I'm just sick and tired of doing like unison and then harmony, I think we need to switch them. You're not gonna achieve the effect that you're hoping for. I mean, you may be thrilled, but it may not bring people into a greater awareness of the lyrics we're singing. Oh, is this helpful? Okay, just a couple nods, that's all I needed, just that affirmation momentarily. Any other questions? Yeah?
At church musician, we need to get educated in contemporary worship style in seminary, but most seminary doesn't, church music movement doesn't, don't offer that.
Yes.
Yeah, so we need to get educated by ourselves. How should we do that?
What a great question. Well, I think that's one of the reasons Professor Stamm is here.
And also we need worship leader course or how to manage worship praise band.
Yes, let me recommend some CDs to you. I think that the best thing for you to do would be to listen to some CDs just to get accustomed to a sound. And then in terms of the practicals, oh, is this taped?
Yeah.
Okay,
do
well.
Do you want it not to be taped?
What's that? Well, I want to give an unrecommendation, but I'll save that. I won't do that.
You write it on the board, Michael.
I think I'll just do it this way, generically. I think there are a lot of seminars, conferences today that emphasize more the performance aspect of contemporary worship than the things that we're talking about. I think that you can get it all very polished and all very smooth and together, but the goal is not to get a smooth program together. The goal is to use contemporary music in such a way that songs, either old songs have new life, or you learn a new catalog, you add to your repertoire new songs. I mean, some of the songs we sang yesterday could be done in a classical, traditional way, or a contemporary way. And they would be equally as effective, just different effect. So there are two CDs in the, well, there are a number of CDs in the bookstore. They're produced by Worship Together. One's called We Bow Down, and the other is called Take Me to the River. And I'll give you a few. They are acoustic worship CDs. And there's been this, you know, emphasis on acoustic worship, which just basically means stripped down. You got a guitar player, you got a drummer, you got a bass player, you got a vocalist. Yeah, that's basically it. But the production and the treatment of those songs is very good, and they even have some great songs on them. Do you guys do How Deep the Father's Love? How deep the Father's love for us. How many people are familiar with that song? That is an absolutely outstanding song. Written in a meter, I think it's 4/4 plus 6/4 or something. I just call it 5/4, but it's content, it's theology, it's rich, it's passion, it's affected, it's truth, and yet it's done in this fresh treatment, and that's on one of the CDs. I think that's called Take Me to the River. A Beautiful Savior. Do y'all do that? All my days I will sing this song of gladness, give my praise to the fountain of delights, for in my helplessness you heard my cry, and waves of mercy poured down on my life. Has anyone ever heard this? Same author, Stuart Townend. Beautiful Savior, wonderful Counselor, clothed in majesty, Lord of history, you're the way, the truth, the light. That's how it's done. Star of the morning, glorious in holiness, you're the risen one, heaven's champion, and you reign over all. That's on Take Me to the River as well. Those kinds of songs make a wonderful transition. I would encourage you in this, don't do shallow contemporary songs. There are plenty of content filled. That's why PDI Music exists, because we believe that you can be contemporary and have doctrine. What a concept. So those two are very good. Let me think what else I saw over there. If you want something very contemporary, Matt Redman. That would be very contemporary. But he is a young man, 25 years old, from Britain, who has a desire to see songs about the cross, to be songs about the goodness of God, that are scripturally based. He's very contemporary. If you're coming from like totally traditional, he's probably not the best place to start. The latest Vineyard CD, which they produce one every quarter, I think, Touching the Father's Heart. I think it's, well, the latest one, I think it's called Let Us Believe, has a number of good songs on it. There are very few CDs that just have all good songs.
Right.
I mean, if I get one or two off a CD, I'm a very happy man.
That's a lot.
Yeah, and then of course the PDI stuff is really good.
Which happens to be available at the door as you leave.
So.
Final question.
In terms of all the voice leading, we have choirs, we have praise teams and groups and ensembles, and while we've been addressing contemporary music, you know, it's been around for a while, and it's almost like it's had to come to its own.
Yes.
In many respects. I'm trying to investigate this, and I still don't know why, but with the current trend, it seems, especially in a lot of youth music, is you find a lot of bands, like especially from the UK, that are producing music, and that is coming out. This is the new worship team. The worship team is now a rock band only,
yes, yes.
But it's not even a vocal team, and I'm not sure where that's taking us or what kind of.
Yeah, just don't believe anything you read about like contemporary worship. I love it when people write something like, now worship can be authentic.
Yeah.
Like, what has it been for the last 2,000 years? Now it can be real. Yeah, that it's just advertising, it's just hype. Worship will never be about an artist. It will always be about the songs that we sing that are based in the Bible. So, fortunately, those groups, whatever, they do have some good material. So don't be put off by it. You know, I'd listen to it. I mean, I listen to CDs all the time, and I just have rows of CDs I will never use. But I listen, and I don't want to just say, well, that has nothing for me, because it's, you know, contemporary, whatever. I listen to hymns and look through hymn books as well.
There's another coaster.
All right, say again?
I said there's another coaster.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
You put them on
Frisbee.
It worked.
So does that help? I mean, I wouldn't.
Yeah,
it's not. It's ridiculous.
I guess that's ultimately, you know, if you're in a classical paradigm, and you say, well, I'm feeling threatened by contemporary music, uh-huh. versus being even in a contemporary group, saying I'm feeling threatened by, you know, I'm feeling threatened by POD.
Don't feel threatened by POD.
What is the www.crosswalk.com.
Oh, I do a weekly column on worship. It's called Worship Matters, and it's on crosswalk.com under Worship Matters. Right now I'm covering What Does Music Mean? Which I'm starting to get some interesting responses.
Okay. Well, we'll all
so you can subscribe to it. I've done about 45 of them, I guess, in that range. So I've just pick different topics and run them. A little longer than
the worship quote. Of the
yeah,
week.
Right, right.
He's a new subscriber to the worship.
That's
quote
right.
Of the week. That's why we like him so much.
Got my first one.
Would you join me in? Thank you so much. God
my
bless you.
Privilege, and it's been great being with you all.
Well, you just made me back. Who
well,
knows?
That would be very exciting. Very exciting.
How wonderful. Holy Week, all of you, and I look forward to not seeing you next week. and for us all to be celebrating the resurrection of our Lord, God's power over sin and death in a fresh and wonderful way. To Him be the glory. Amen. Goodbye.
Amen.